This is Bustin' Loose in Faith with none other than Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a broadcast that brings you word and encouragement for your soul. We want you to remember that you don't have no worries. All you need is faith in God. Bustin' Loose in Faith airs Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, without further ado, let's get into this broadcast, and may God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to Him this day and forevermore. Oh, precious Father, as we come to you here tonight, hallelujah, Lord, tonight, just to thank you and praise you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Just to thank you and praise you for who you are, that you are God. And besides thee, there is no other to worship in spirit and in truth. Oh, precious Father, we are so grateful and thankful to, hallelujah, Lord, to be on top of the ground not on top of us. We are so grateful and thankful to be here in the land of the living, that you seem fit that we still here, precious Father. Thank you for extending grace, mercy, and love upon our lives this day and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Now, precious Father, as we get out of the way, that you may have your way here, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Action of hands behind Calvary's cross, anointing us with clay. Use us, Father God, for our glory in Jesus' name. Oh, precious Father, crown our head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Hallelujah, Lord. Let us be your mouthpiece, your hands and feet, to speak a word into our people's lives this day. Hide us behind Calvary's cross, anoint this lips of clay. Use us, Father God, for thy glory in the name of Jesus. Prepare the people's heart to receive thy word in spirit and in truth. We bind up all technical difficulties, anything that would try to hinder the word of God from going forward. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless God. This is Apostle Dudley Tebow with Providence Tebow coming to you today in that name that's above every other name, and that is the name of Jesus. We are so grateful and thankful to, hallelujah, because God is able and He's willing to meet our each and every need in our lives. Hallelujah, this day. If you have your Bible, amen, I would like you to go to Luke chapter 22. And we'll be looking at verse 39 through 46, I promise.
Good evening. Reading to your hearing, St. Luke chapter 22, starting with verse 39. And it reads, "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, yes, lest ye enter into temptation. I've read to you Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and especially the doers of his word. Amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, and honor belongs to him this day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, bless God, I would like for you to be in prayer with us as we bring forth the word today. We thank God again for having an opportunity to come to you tonight. Amen. Through internet. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. We are teaching and preaching locally, but we are reaching globally. And we thank God for that capability. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just for the next few minutes, amen, I want to teach tonight, hallelujah, and bring word of encouragement to you. Tonight we're going to be talking about God knows how to bring you to your knees. God knows how to bring you to your knees. In the time of crisis, as we are facing today in 2020, hallelujah, in March of 2020, where there have been an outbreak of the coronavirus. But we know that the word of God says, hallelujah, that he will deliver us. So right now we can't afford to let fear grab our heart. We have to stay in faith because the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Also, it says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And them that come to God must believe that he is who he say he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Here in the scriptures that was read in Luke 22, verses 39 through 46, Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross. He was getting ready to go to Calvary's hill to be buried, to be hung on an old rugged cross for the remission of our sins. Jesus, in his humanity, such as we are little finite creatures, amen. God is infinite. He is omnipresent. Jesus still knew what his mission was down here on earth. He knew that he came from heaven above, lowered himself, took upon the fashion of man, came down here on earth, born of a virgin, grew up, took upon, even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man. So the humanity, his human side of him, was questioning whether the cup that was needed for him to complete the mission, if it could be passed on. And here in the Garden of Gethsemane, hallelujah, it says on the Mount of Olives, his disciples followed him. And so he gave them, he asked them, it was a call to prayer. And a lot of time, brothers and sisters in Christ, and those that are listening in and those that will be listening to this teaching later, you know, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Well, in this particular incident, he needed prayer. He needed people. He needed his disciples and them to encourage him because of what he was facing. Amen? So God knows how to bring you and I and all mankind to their knees in times of when difficulties hit that we are not aware of, fear can grip our heart. I just stopped by to let you know this. Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. We have to always remember that fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. Faith is of God. Fear and faith can't live in your heart at the same time. So we have to make a decision as a born-again believer. Which one we will yield to? Will we yield to faith of knowing that faith is what pleases God? Or will we yield to fear that we know that fear is not of God? It's a choice that each and every one of us has to make. So again, we are talking about God knows how to bring you to your knees. As believers of Christ, we have to be reminded that this world is not our permanent home. We are just passing through. While we're here in this world, we will suffer persecution. We will go through trials and tribulation, because this world is daily decaying and passing away. But we have a hope that lies within us as children of God, of knowing that if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every mouth that come against us in judgment shall be condemned. But this is the heritage of the power. This is the heritage of those that are in the Lord. Amen? So, it never said that the weapon wouldn't form, but it says that the weapon, hallelujah, wouldn't prosper. So in other words, this coronavirus is only going to be here for a season. But we have to have a made-up mind to stand on God's promises, because he promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He promised to be with us through thick and thin. Yes? This world is not our home. It's only a temporary place, as we are preparing to go to the place where Jesus and God, hallelujah, have prepared for us. It's a prepared place for prepared people. In 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, the Word of God encourages us as believers of Christ. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. See, the word of God said in Matthew 6:33, for to seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and everything else shall be added unto us. In other words, as a born-again believer, if you abide in him, talking about Jesus, then he will abide in you. Jesus, he is the branch. He is the tree. We are the branches, excuse me. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He is the one that our lives, he is the example that our lives should be portrayed as. Only what we'll do for Christ will last. Only what we'll do for him will sustain us in our trying times. So God knows how to bring you and I and all mankind to their knees. You notice, probably this table, those that are listening in today, the only time people get very religious or they have a mindset when it comes to religious practices or when it comes to the things of God is when Christ is here. Besides that, they go on their merry-go-round way, enjoying life, and bragging about the money that they have in the bank, bragging about the big cars, the big houses, the things of this world. But you see, the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give for exchange for his soul? That's a decision that each and every one of us has to make at this time, every day of our lives, if God permits us to see another day, because this day is the Lord's day. Hallelujah. So God knows how to bring you to your knees. Again, as Christ followers, we have eternal life, and we are planning on being with God throughout eternity. When the lust of the flesh happens in a person's life, they are living for selfish desires, for selfish reasons and pleasure, with no regard for the dignity or feelings of others. Yes, I can't talk about nobody else, but I can talk about me. When you are as a child of God, yield to the desire of the flesh. We have to understand that the flesh and the spirit is all there. It's always a warfare that is taking place. I'm reminded when the Apostle Paul says, "The things I desire to do, I don't do, and the things I desire not to do, I do," because evil is ever so present. As a born again believer, we have to understand that we got a target on our back. The devil don't want you to make it. He don't want you to make it and go to heaven. Because, see, he once was there. Then he got kicked out. Him and a third of the angels got kicked out of heaven. So he made a promise when falling all the way down to earth. I'm just paraphrasing this. He tried to put in his mind that my kingdom has to be extended, that it be greater than God's kingdom. Now, God is the one that created him. Hallelujah. The devil wasn't always bad. He once was good. But that jealousy, envy got into his heart. And he wanted to take the place of the creator instead of being the creature. Hallelujah. So lust, we're gonna always have a struggle with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This is something that we have to ask God each and every day and pray that he would deliver us from. But we got to understand we have to do our part. We have to pray, fast, ask the Lord to help us. Because, see, one thing that I learned in the years that I'm still walking with God, things that you can do, God expects you to do. Now, things that you can't do that become impossible, then God step in and make it possible. Can I get an amen, somebody? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to amen myself. Because it is the truth. So we got to understand, as born-again believers, as children of God, we, in order for us to overcome, in order for us to stand on the scripture that says that we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony, we have to do our part. We got to be willing to walk out whatever is needed. Hallelujah, for us to be able to testify and let people know that it was God that did it in us and through us. Hallelujah. We're not our own anymore. We belong to him. You see, when a believer of Christ gives, again, into the lust of the flesh, the guilt experience that you encounter becomes a barrier to prayer. That's why the word of God said, in 1 John 1:9, that if we do fall short and we come to him, it says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If that's you tonight, I'm speaking to you, hallelujah, or whoever is listening in. Don't let guilt stop you from going forward. Just come to God and ask him to forgive you, to cleanse you from whatever sin that you have fallen short in. After he forgives you, just with all that is in you with God's help, ask him to deliver you from it. Amen. All of us is at a place in faith. You know where you are. God knows where you are. So it's not my place to put a thumb on you, but it's my place to pray for you. I can agree with you that God will give you the strength to overcome in that particular area. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. Pray and be mindful of having a prayerful attitude about things. Not always audibly. You can pray to yourself. You can pray sitting down, riding in your car, amen, sitting quietly at home. Whatever position you desire to pray, standing, kneeling, laying, hallelujah, God is still a good God. He's still a God that sits high in the glory. He knows us all by name, the very hairs on our head. So God knows how to bring us to our knees, bring us to that place where we're not looking at circumstances or situations that we are not capable of doing anything about. All we got to do is humble ourselves. Hallelujah. humble ourselves in the sight of God. Then look up and say, I know where my help comes from. My help coming from the Lord, the one that made heaven and earth, the one that has all power in his hand. You see, the devil, he's very pleased when a believer of Christ stay off your knees in prayer, because he knows that the prayer, no matter how small or long it is, it is a threat to his kingdom. It's a threat to his work. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief goes about to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. So if you're in Christ and Christ is in you, you can pray. Hallelujah. And not doubting. Pray, believing. And if you believe, you shall receive. You shall receive the promises. In Galatians, it talks about it. Don't be weary in well doing, because in due season, if you faint not, you shall receive the promises of God. So when a true believer of Christ has conversation with Jesus through prayer, the devil trembles. Yes, you give him a headache. Hallelujah. He anticipates those that is playing church. He's not worried about them because he got them already. But those that are real, those that have made up their mind that the world is behind them and the cross is before him, that's the one that he's really concerned about. He's concerned about the ones that are going to pray fast, the one that is determined and committed to what they confess and believe in. What a privilege we have to pray. Word of God says in Luke 18, verses 1, the latter part of the verse, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Hallelujah. Even though there be times when things seem as if it's gone good, pray. Even though there may be times when things look like everything is working against you, hallelujah, pray. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray at night. Pray. No matter how small your prayer may be, it doesn't matter about the length of time. It's how sincere you are about it from the heart and committed. See, God knows the heart. He's the God of the heart. He examines our heart to see where we are. The Word of God says for us to examine ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith, that our prayers and our work is not in vain. Because if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Sure, we'll go through trials. Sure, we'll go through tribulation. As we look around here in, hallelujah, in our communities, excuse me, in our communities, in our cities, our town, even in our state and country, it may seem as everything is in chaos, but we can still have the victory. If we stand firm as believers of Christ, standing on God's word, making a decision of knowing that we are people of faith. Sure, if we look around and we go according to our feelings, our senses, we can always be, hallelujah, defeated. But we have a hope that lies within us. That God is our protection. God is able to turn this situation around. All we got to do is be claim the promises, ask him to cover us with the blood of Jesus. There's still power in the blood of Jesus. What a privilege, brothers and sisters, those that are listening, those that will be listening later. What a privilege we have in prayer. Pray. Believers of Christ, don't let any barrier keep you from your greatest work you can do, and that is to pray. To pray. Pray in season, pray without, out of season, but pray. God knows how to bring you to your knees. Prayer is to be a vital part of our Christian walk with God. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 6, verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, we don't have to go on in the marketplace. We don't have to go downtown or in crowds to bring attention to ourselves while we are praying. We can do it in the privacy of our home. We can do it in our heart. Because then when thy prayers enter into our closet, that secret place, that secret closet, and when thou hast shut the door, in other words, when we have blocked out all distraction, distractions from the world, distractions from noise, distractions from drama and foolishness, and come to God sincerely. Seek him while he may be found. As we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And this is done in prayer. Then it says, pray to the Father in secret. And the Father in secret will reward you openly. That's why when we pray and fast, the Bible says not for us to broadcast that we are fasting, but for us to anoint ourselves with oil and have an attitude of prayer, an attitude to be prayerful about everything. Hallelujah. And be sincere about it. Talk to God about it. Have a little talk with Jesus. Tell him about it. Because when you broadcast it to people, people can turn around and put your business out. But you go to God about it. God is the only one that can bring forth change. He's the only one that can direct your steps. He's the only one that can bring forth a miracle in your behalf. According to Romans 8:28, it says that we know that all things work together for good for them that love the Lord and is called according to his purpose. So be a prayerful. Use wisdom. Hallelujah. Remember, if we pray to God in secret and be really sincere about it, committed to the prayer in intimacy with him, he will reward us openly. God is good and worthy to be praised. God knows how to bring you to your knees. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God is good. And he's worthy to be praised. God knows how to bring you to your knees. So, believers of Christ, one word sums up the key to effective prayer, and that is to surrender. God knows how to bring you to your knees. Yeah. that was drafted in the beloved family of God. Spiritually, amen, we are spiritually as Jews on a spiritual basis. So the benefit that the children of God at the time of the nation of Israel has, we have also, because Jesus Christ, he's Lord over the Jews as well as the Gentiles. So we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, as the testimony of Paul, we have to get to the place of realizing that we're not our own anymore. We've been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary for us. Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice for God. Hallelujah. He's the one that bridged the gap between God and man. He became the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. Hallelujah. So following Jesus Christ, the man, a daily surrender of our lives to him as a follower of his. It is a daily dying to self-desires, daily living for the honor and glory of God. As we present our bodies as living sacrifice, according to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, brethren, by the mercies of God, I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may know what the perfect will of God is. So, God knows how to bring you to your knees. God wants us to be, hallelujah, on fire for him. He wants us to overcome. You see, the only time we become an overcomer is when we have the mindset of going through whatever we have to go through, hallelujah, in order to, that God may get the glory, the praise, and the honor in our lives. Yes, we are supposed to be the light of the world, a light that's not hidden underneath a bushel, a light that's seen on top of a hill. When we walk in a room and there's darkness, we should. All it takes is a little light, a little spark of light, to expose the sinful deeds of those in darkness. Here in the Word of God, the Word says in Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God knows how to bring you to your knees. You see, God honors all. He will honor all who daily seek him in prayer. Prayer, again, is a necessity. It's not an option. Prayer is needed in a believer's life, just like the air that we breathe. Prayer is a must for us to get instruction from God and follow the instruction so that we may overcome things in our lives. For an example, the Bible says in the book of Daniel was a spiritual leader at this particular time, that he had a daily routine of kneeling and praying three times a day in his room, giving thanks to God. Even when the jealous administrators and prince at that time, they had King Darius to make a law that made it a crime to pray to any other divine God than King Darius. Well, they knew that Daniel was praying to his God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they tricked King Darius at that time, his administrators and the princes, those that was around him, to make a law, because they knew that Daniel was praying, and he didn't hide it. He had the windows open, and he was praying to his God. The penalty was made by the king, and he stamped it, put a seal on it. The penalty would be for that person to be thrown into the den of lions if caught praying. When Daniel heard of the law, he went to his room, as was his custom, and he knelt down in prayer, giving thanks to God. You see, brothers and sisters, children of God, believers of Christ, you see, Daniel, at that particular time, he had to choose between obeying the law of the land of a godless nation or to obey the law of God. Well, Daniel decided to choose to obey God's law. In the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, 29th verse, the latter part of the verse, it says that we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, we are in a crisis here in 2020 with this coronavirus. And there are things that the civil government is asking us to do. Word of God says to obey God as well as to obey man. But when it comes to a child of God, we have to make a decision which is in right standing with God, whether to obey man or to obey God. I believe in preparation. I believe that we have to abide according to the law of the land. But when it comes to a choice on which side that we will stand upon, whether God or man, well, as his child, the choice shouldn't be through frustration. It should be that we stand for God, God's law. Because the Bible says all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And part of the persecution is, do you believe what you, will you stand upon what you believe? If we're saying one thing with our mouth, but yet still our action is saying something else, that brings confusion. So we have to use wisdom according to the Word of God. So listen, people of God, again, when we are to obey civil laws that the government have in place, but when it comes contrary to the direct commands of God, we must obey God and be ready to suffer the consequence, which means that the choice has to be on our part. You see, God spared Daniel because of the stand that he took. Because we read in Daniel 6, verse 16 through 28, you will see what God spared Daniel from the claws of the lion and regain him his position of leadership and the blessings because of the restoration of Daniel. The blessings of the Lord was on the king also, King Darius of Babylon. So God knows how to bring you to your knees. He knows how to bring every governor official from the White House, the Pentagon, all the way to our house, as well as the church house. God knows how to bring our focus back on him. Sometimes when things are going good, we as a people have the tendency just to take our eyes off the one that have prospered us, the one that have made a way out of no way for us. The one that have blessed us. Sometimes the blessings, we put it in priority, out of order, and try to put God secondary in our lives, when he should be first and foremost. Yes, God knows. He's always looking, and his angels are always looking. God knows what it takes to bring you to your knees. He knows what it takes to humble you, to bring you to a place where you may be, hallelujah, humbling yourself getting off your high horse, humbling yourself in his eyesight, or realizing there may be a sickness, there may be poverty that may hit, because trouble will always come. But we gotta get to the point where we know without God's help that we are defeated. Without God's help, we can't make it. Right now, as a people, hallelujah, individually as well as collectively, we need to look deep down within and see where we are and come back to the foot of the cross and repent. Hallelujah. Make an about face, 180-degree turn. Come back to God and ask him to forgive us, to extend grace and mercy upon our lives. All the way from the White House, our house, as well as the church house. Because the Bible says that judgment first starts at the house of God, and where will the ungodly in them appear? So, yeah, you know, we see there's a shaking that's going on all throughout the nation. But we, as God's people, we must stand in the gap. We must go the extra mile, intercede, and ask the Lord to have mercy on this nation. To have mercy upon our brothers and sisters, those that are lost. Have mercy upon our families, our friends, as well as our enemies. We the ones that are, those that are strong in the Lord, must bear the infirmity of the weak, of those that are less fortunate than we are. So church, it's time up, time out. It's time to rise, stand up and shine. It's time to stand in the gap. It's time to pray like never before. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, that my people, which is called by my name, which is humble themselves, pray. Seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal the land. Just like Daniel, one example that I gave, he prayed. He prayed 3 times a day. Now, he had to. He took a stand, and he suffered a consequence. He was placed in the lion's den, but the lion's mouth was shut up. God made it possible. You can go in, but God is going in with you. And the angel of the Lord came and shut the lion's mouth. And the king rose up early that morning, went to the, and he called out to Daniel. And Daniel said, I'm all right, so to speak. And he brought Daniel out, and all of the accusers, the one that accused him, the one that tricked him, he threw them in the lion's den. The Bible says before they hit the bottom, they were broken up. The lions attacked them. So God knows how to deliver you. He knows how to bring you to your knees. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we as believers of Christ said, before the Lord, or we kneel before him, we are, by our own act of submission, saying that we are surrendering and yielding to God's will for our lives. When you go to God in prayer, you go with access to all the promises of God. See, the word of God says in Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly, confidently unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The figure of a throne suggests a place of authority and provision. Our greatest work, brothers and sisters, in Christ, our greatest work in prayer is done when we are kneeling and praying, surrendering to God's will, and praying for others as well as ourselves. You see, God knows how to bring you to your knees. Believers of Christ, don't give Satan victory by allowing the cares of this world. Again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, to keep you from praying on a daily basis. Follow the example that Jesus left us. Follow the model of Jesus in prayer, saying, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Again, in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 39 and 43, when you have it during your devotional time, you can read it. Jesus' own words that said, yet not my will, but yours be done. It marked the climax of the prayer that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was fulfilling his Father's will here on earth at the point of death, and challenged us to do the same. We all have an assignment to be done. We all have a purpose and a time to get it done. We have to do like Jesus did. Come to the place, totally surrendering all, asking God, nevertheless, not our will, but our will, but your will for our lives be accomplished in them. Asking him to strengthen us in areas where we are weak. Asking him to direct our path. People of God, living out of God's will, living out God's will in our lives, it won't be easy. But you can trust him wholeheartedly, according to Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. To trust God, however, you must get to know him in an intimate manner, in an intimate way. You see, intimacy is accomplished through regular prayer and worship, having a set time, a designated place where you can go to come to him in submission. Submission is a vital key to our time of intimacy with God. See, God knows how to bring you to your needs. Jesus said, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, intimacy in prayer takes us to new heights of faith. Submission to God's will in our lives, it earns us grace. Grace is strength to thrive when you and I as believers of Christ are exhausted, and want to give up. It also gives us assurance of God's presence in time of great calamities. Jesus, in Luke 22:44, Jesus being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, it was drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus shows us here how to stay focused on the mission to be done. So believers of Christ, we need to always readjust our focus constantly on what God has for us to do, because we live in a world that values its own desires over God's will. Unless you as a believer of Christ are focused on God, your own selfish desire can distract you from what God has for you to do. God knows how to bring you to your knees. Here in the book of Philippians 3, verse 10, the Apostle Paul knew Christ in an intimate manner, where he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus, hallelujah, he is Lord of lords and kings of kings. God knows how to bring you to your knees. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that your word will not return to you void. We thank you for the word of God that went forth. Lord, I thank you that for those that are listening in, that the Holy Spirit will bring back to remembrance everything that was said. Those that will be listening later, let the anointing rest upon the word of God. Draw them to the foot of the cross. Bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There may be one, or there may be one, or there may be some underneath the sound of my voice that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. What the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's only a matter of making a confession of faith and a belief. If you believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, hallelujah, unto salvation. God is good and worthy to be praised. We just hope and pray that through the word of God, through the prayer, through the teaching tonight, that you will be exalted in the things of God and be encouraged. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We pray that you've gathered some information from this call, this broadcast, that you can use in your everyday life. And if so, please share it with others. Also, share the number to the broadcast and invite someone to join us on Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We appreciate you. We love you. God loves you. If you have questions, comments, would like to contact us, please write to us at P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Again, that's P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Address your correspondence to Dudley Tebow or Lisa Tebow. Again, God bless. Have a great evening. The Lord willing, we'll see you and meet you here again on Friday evening at 6 p.m. God bless.